This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make those daily wagers, be sure to check out VSIN.com to get your best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state like Colorado, because they do vary. Betting tools, betting guides, they are there for you each and every day at VSIN.com. Back alongside the very cool Holden Kushner, 80 degrees in Colorado, 115. Why is that what we got here?
78.
What does 78 feel like? That's like that's December for us.
No, that's the whole. See, here's also another thing that I will die on a hill is that Vegas winters are just cold enough to be like uncomfortable.
I've never worn a jacket in the 3 years that I've lived here. Not once.
You don't wake up early enough, you know, when it's 30 degrees.
No, I'm not going to go running if that's what you're asking. I'm not going to do that.
You do your push-ups, so.
I do my push-ups. Yeah. That's what I do. I do believe we want to talk a little bit more.
Oh, we do have JVT.
Oh, there he is. Jonathan Von Tobel is kind enough to join us now. Of course, does a great job on the network. Co-host of VSIN Primetime. You can follow him on X as I do at MeJVT. Jonathan, great to catch up. I feel like you and I have talked a lot this weekend about the game of basketball. I want to switch it up a little bit and start with the Olympics because Holden and I were just talking a little bit about it in France coming up this summer. I'm one of those old, snotty, snooty Americans that I just assume we're going to blow everybody out. It's not going to be close. We're a 390 betting favorite to win the gold. Canada is the second betting choice at 9-1. Holden tells me I'm crazy, and I think it's going to be a little bit more competitive. Is it going to be competitive? Are we just too damn good?
It's tough because I do think that I want to give these other teams a little bit more credit than 9-1 or 10-1, right? That'd be Canada and France. So we have the host nation in France that boasts two of the best defensive centers that we're going to see on the floor at any one time, Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama. You have incredible guard play for Canada led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You've got Lou Dort. You got Jamal Murray on the roster. I think that those teams are deserving of more. And I think one of the things is, you know, Dave, if I had a full time in terms of an offseason, right, to integrate guys and get them ready to go and all that stuff, then I do think that a team USA at minus 390 would make some sense given the level of talent we have, right? Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry. But there is something to be said of putting a team together this quickly and then going out and playing competitively while Canada, remember, they played together for the most part. They were in the FIBA World Cup. Most of France has played together. Germany won the World Cup. So like you look at all of these teams and there's at least a little bit more continuity and guys are used to playing with each other where Team USA has this mercenary feel type where it's like, hey, a bunch of guys are really good, but we're all coming together for a short time. Can we build that continuity enough to get this thing done? So I think they deserve to be favored. I want to make that clear. But I do think the degree to which they are favored is a little strong. We've seen it. We saw minus 400, minus 410. We're down to minus 390. I do think at 9-1 and 10-1, Canada and France are worthy of a wager at those numbers.
Ross, I'm telling you, man, maybe you'll listen now that JVT said it. You're not going to listen to me. That's exactly what I'm saying, buddy. These other teams have caught up. There's a lot of talent there. Yep. They play year round. Don't forget about Spain. Germany won the FIBA. Again, we didn't have our best team out there at FIBA, JVT. No. And good to see you. It's been a long time. Love the cut, the tight cut.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's talk about this team compared to the 2020 team, because that team we were talking at JaVale McGee.
Oh, boy.
This team is built a little bit differently, and I like it. You know, they've got big, big centers. They've got a couple big guys with Embiid, and you've got Davis, and they can just sit in the paint the whole time. You got three-point shooters. You got LeBron, and Ant Edwards says he's going to be the best player on the team, or he is the best player on the team. So can you give us a little rundown of this roster? Because I'm a fan. I don't think it's just throwing a bunch of stars together. I think that they figured out stars playing certain roles, and it's not going to be one-on-one basketball.
Yeah, what's going to stick out to me is that their defense. I think they're going to be very, very good defensively, and that's something that you can translate pretty easily, right? That offense, you've got to know what your spacing is, what other guys like to do, and all that kind of stuff. So that might come on a little bit slower. But you think about this defense, what they have: Anthony Edwards, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, the two Anthonys. Like you have some really elite defenders. LeBron James, when he wants to defend, is a very good defender, and we haven't even scratched the surface of some of the depth that they have coming off the bench too. I think this team is going to be an elite defensive team the second they hit the ground running. So that's going to be fun to watch because they've got elite wing defenders that they're going to be able to shut down other teams. And I think that's kind of going to be how they make their hay as they get into Olympic play. And we're going to see them against Canada. It's going to be a really good test on Wednesday in that friendly to see exactly what they're going to look like. But I'd venture a guess that this team's strength is going to start with them defensively. And remember, you know, Steve Kerr, of course, head coach of Team USA. We remember those Warriors teams for being great offensive teams, but that was a team and that was an era that made their hay on defense. They were one of the best defenses in the NBA, Golden State, when they were making their run. And a lot of that had to do with Steve Kerr. And I think Kerr's going to have this team ready to go on that end of the floor.
JVT, if you go back really kind of the last 20 years, it seemed like Carmelo Anthony just shined whenever it was international, right? It was like, it was this weirdest thing where he becomes the most beloved guy in the team and he leads him in scoring and all these things. Is there going to be a player like that? I know Embiid's the shortest shot at plus 350 to have the most points for Team USA. Durant's the second betting choice. And then those young guns, Anthony Edwards comes into play, go down a little bit to 7-1 to Devin Booker. Will it be a veteran like Melo, or do you think it'll be a younger guy that kinds of lead us? Will they be able to pass the torch, if you will, and anoint somebody to be the star of stars?
You know, I think you're going to look at Kevin Durant. Like, he is kind of taking that mellow shape, Dave, where he's been there, right? Like, he has actually been answering the call and performing on these Olympic teams where some of these guys are not consistently on this squad. So, like, I think Kevin Durant, just given what he is, right, we know exactly how kind of a problem he can be when it comes to the way he scores, his release point, his shooting, all of those sort of things. And none of these other squads really have an option for him. I think I would look toward Kevin Durant. I think that he is going to have a strong Olympics here, and he's got a history of playing FIBA basketball, and I think he's going to be comfortable right away.
Yep, that's my guy, Durant, and probably Steph Curry too, right? I mean, Kerr's going to run him out there. Curry, three big time 3-point shooter still. Those are my two guys. I just wonder what you think of Ant Edwards at this point, what kind of run he gets.
Yeah, really quick to the Curry point. I do wonder, these guys are such fine-tuned athletes, right? So they know exactly where they're at and everything like that. But this three-point line is different than the NBA. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, this is going to be easier for Curry. But I'm not sure if that's the case, just because, like, a difference when you're used to shooting in terms of where the three-point line is and whatnot. It's going to be interesting to see how he reacts to that. But I think to your point about Anthony Edwards, I think Anthony Edwards is Anthony Edwards. And I think a lot is being made of the comments. That's Ant. And I think a lot of these players understand that that is Anthony Edwards' personality. And he's going to speak like that. He's going to talk like that, but he is an elite two-way player, as we have seen, when he wants to be. And the supporting cast around him is so much better from an offensive standpoint, other than what he has in Minnesota, that I think he's really going to be able to shine here on both ends. So I think it's going to be a really good run for him. And remember too, like you mentioned, Holden, right, not a lot of these guys around for the FIBA World Cup, but Anthony Edwards was, so he's had his taste of FIBA basketball. He played it last year too. No, I think that this is going to be a strong showing for man on both ends.
JVT, when I look at host country France, they're the third betting choice here at 10-1. You mentioned Gobert and Victor on the inside, right? There is no defensive 3 seconds. So you can just camp out in that lane with these FIBA rules, as Wyatt was informing me on. Does that benefit France, that they're going to have some size? I think we're kind of like, we want to be freewheeling and, you know, kind of have our space to operate, if you will. If France gets their way, could these rules help them out and say, you know what, we're just going to pack it in the lane, boys. You knock them down from distance, so be it, but you're not coming in here.
100%. And remember, the goaltending rules are different too, Dave. So like, that's going to be something as well. And it's some of the rules that I really wish that the NBA would start to adopt, because I love FIBA basketball. It's absolutely awesome. But I do think that's what makes France being a very, very serious threat. Look, guard play, I think USA has a distinct advantage against a team like France. But if you're talking about along the interior, the ability to defend the paint and the rim, there's a question that France has an upgrade or an advantage over what Team USA has, even with Anthony Davis there, because they just have so much size. And they could get a little crazy. What if you do put Wembanyama on the floor with Rudy Gobert, right? Because you can at least have a three-point shooter. I don't think you can do that all the time, but you can at least get away with it at times. So I think France, given how good they can be defensively, remember, they also have good elite wing defenders, Nick Batum among them, and the fact that they are the host country, so you have a home floor advantage to an extent. I think France is being a little slept on here when you're talking about 10-1 to win this entire thing.
I'm with you. And then the last thing for me on the Olympics would be Serbia, because they got the best player in a game, Nikola Jokic. So it's Jokic, it's Jovic, it's all the Yo stuff going on with them. But I think that's a team that can make a little noise too. Are they going to beat Team USA? No, but we know in basketball, when you got the best player on the floor, you got a chance.
Yeah, and I do think that there is a sense here, as we're kind of talking about, right? And you're talking about Serbia down to 13-1. Greece, as we know, we saw Giannis the other day crying because he gets his team to the Olympics for the first time, I think it was since 2008. Germany, the reigning FIBA World Cup champions, where I think that sometimes the odds kind of reflect this thought that Dave has, right? Which is for America, of course, right, we should be dominant here. But I do think that that's somewhat lost in the sauce is that these teams are very, very good. And there's a lot of deep talent in each one of these countries going all the way down to Germany. And at one point, the Australians, too, were absolutely tremendous. That team's gotten a little bit longer in the tooth, though not as effective. But still, I think that the odds don't reflect how good some of these teams from Canada, France, Serbia, and Greece can really be when it comes to competing in this tournament.
Yeah, JVT, I said to Holden in the last segment, I said, you know, it's James Naismith. It's our game. And then Holden said, he's Canadian. So I didn't even know that. I didn't realize that Naismith, we got a Canadian that invented our game down here in the States. Jonathan, we appreciate your time as always, my friend. Thanks for hopping on the Progressive Guest Line. Enjoy the Olympics. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Great stuff from JVT. Yeah, you know, I'm seeing it your way a little bit more now, Holden, after that conversation with Jonathan. But you made the other good point. France might be live, but they also could surrender at any point.
You weren't supposed to say that on the air.
It's a historical joke, everybody. When we come back, let's talk a little Major League Baseball. That's next year in Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
We begin our number two of Sharp Money. Dave Ross, Holden Kushner. He is in the great state of Colorado. I am here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, we're going to have Steve Mackinnon join us a little bit later on. And Steve's got some really cool power ratings that he looks at win totals with certain teams. And he tries to find value, what his numbers say versus what a lot of the books have posted for win totals for certain teams. A couple of those reside. I'm not going to give it away now, people. That's why you got to watch and listen later on when Steve joins us. But I will say a couple of those teams come to us from the AFC West. And this has been a division that has been absolutely dominated, pillar to post, by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. How much so? Ever since that combo took over and they moved Alex Smith on to D.C. in 2016. Look at the division winners. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Is there a theme there? Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid equals division championship. Holden Kushner, they are obviously the odds-on favorite to do it yet again. I know Harbs is in L.A. Sean Payton now kind of getting his guys there, you know, in Denver. And we got an old former Redskin now linebacker out here in Las Vegas leading the Raiders. What do you make of the Chiefs? Is there any peril for the Chiefs to not possibly win this division for the first time since 2015?
I mean, it's just the latest dynasty in the National Football League. Now, the one question I have is at left tackle for them. It needs to be filled. It's as simple as that. But they upgraded the wide receiver core. I think Hollywood Brown is going to be magnificent in this offense. You get a nice deep threat for Mahomes once again. And when he's healthy, he's like one of those borderline number ones.
Yeah.
So you've got him, Rashee Rice. I don't know what's going on with him. Is he going to be in prison? Is he going to be suspended? I don't think you can really count on too much from Rashee Rice at this point. They did bring in Xavier Worthy. The guy offensively, I've got a lot of question marks, is Travis Kelce. He's 34, he's going to be 35. Like, at some point in time, it's going to run out. This guy has been so elite for so long. When is time going to catch up with him? Maybe it isn't this year, but he played through that lower leg injury in the playoffs last year, got through it. He's terrific. Love the secondary, young, deep. Team is better on paper this year than it was last year. And last year, really in the second half of 2 years ago, the defense came on strong. Last year, it took them a few weeks. Then defense came on strong. This team is better on paper than it was last year. No question.
I agree. I think it's bad news for the rest of the league that they've been able to go back to back in last year. Clearly, you know, it's a weird feel. I'm not trying to discount what they did because you can't. I mean, they are the back to back reigning defending champs. So we're not taking anything away. We are saying, I don't know that they were the best team. They happened to win, and that is very impressive. And it shows you that winning mentality that Mahomes and Andy Reid and everybody else has gotten that in that room and Steve Spagnuolo and his defense. But I don't know that that means, to your point, that on paper, this was necessarily the best team. A year ago. They are better this year. I mentioned Antonio Pierce out here in the desert. They went to Arrowhead last year, Christmas Day, and won a game on the road without completing a pass after the first quarter. Like, that's where the Chiefs were at Christmas Day last year. But low. They were low. And then all of a sudden, they figured out a way to flip that switch in the second season, and then Mahomes went into Superman mode. I mean, look, they had to run the gauntlet. Yes, they had the home game against Miami in the frozen tundra game. We knew the fish were going to be fish out of water out there in Arrowhead, and they looked miserable from the jump, right? But then they go to Buffalo, and if you remember the end of that game, Steph Diggs drops a ball that Josh Allen threw perfectly in there, sets up a long field goal, wind-aided, no good, they move on. And then they don't score in the second half in Baltimore in the AFC title game, and they win. I mean, like, these are some weird things that are happening, and you're winning these road games like they won last year. I don't know that it's sustainable again for a third year in a row. I will tell you, though, that I am out of the business of doubting Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in the second seasons.
Yeah, Mahomes just too good. And this, when Russell Wilson went to the Broncos a couple of years ago, people were talking about this being the greatest division ever, but it was the Chiefs. It was the Chiefs, and it was the Chiefs. And it's going to be the Chiefs again. You got the best player in the league, and he's your quarterback. You got a great shot of winning it all. And Chiefs are going to probably do it again. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I raised my hand.
I think the difference, though, with this team is, maybe there is something with the regular season where they will be a better football team just because of the additions they made. And I think Patrick Mahomes could be more of a passer now, a downfield passer, because they have not had that since Tyreek Hill left.
Good point.
Mr. Dave Ross, you have the floor now. Mr. Dave Ross, you have the floor.
Like in grade school, if a kid raises their hand, doesn't the teacher stop the lecture and acknowledge, or do you wait till the lecture is over?
I'm just looking into my camera. So if you raised your hand and you're talking about me, I apologize.
I raised my hand to say guilty as charged. I was one of those people, Holden, that said division of death. You know, Russell Wilson, let's ride. Coming to Denver, this is going to be four.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I was all in, man. I was like, this is the best division we've ever seen. Okay, good. All right, so it's not just me. Because I was. I was like, man, this is going to be four teams dragging it out, knocking it. No, you're right. It was just one. Now, can we get at least two? What do you make of Harbs in L.A.? I got to tell you, I'm fascinated by this because I remember everybody telling me last year that Kellen Moore is going to open up the offense for Justin Herbert, and man, is this thing going to look good in L.A.? It didn't look good in L.A. Kellen Moore's gone. Staley's gone. They're all out of there, right? All new regime, Harbs comes in. I actually think this offense is going to look a lot better with a quote-unquote conservative old-school quarterback running things offensively. I think this is going to be the best version of Justin Herbert. Do you agree?
That's really interesting. Well, if anybody knows me out there, you know my thoughts on Staley. I thought he was just horrible.
Oh, he was terrible.
And he was the poster boy for analytics in the NFL,
yes.
And he kind of set us back 30 years. And I was like, this guy doesn't know. He was a disaster. So Jim Harbaugh is going to be a better head coach. We're going to find out a lot about Herbert because you can't hide behind the run all season. At some point in time, we're going to get shootouts.
Yep.
He has been one of the more overrated quarterbacks in the National Football League at this point. But he does have a competent head coach now, which is nice to see. But it's another new system. The thing that I think is interesting, we're probably going to see a run-oriented offense.
Yes.
And it's with a couple of guys in the Ravens, Gus Edwards. All right, Gus the Bus. They got the sixth-round kid, Kamani Vidal, as well. But J.K. Dobbins can't stay on the field. Just keep running guys out, hoping you can run. Five new starters on offense. Very, very concerned about their wide receiver group because it's Joshua Palmer, Quentin Johnston, and they drafted McConkey. So the offensive line could be really good if they're coached up. They've got a great pass rushing duo. You know, Bosa is just about as good as it gets. They brought Khalil Mack in as well. Yep. This should be a better team, but do they step right in under Harbaugh and turn into a team that probably not going to challenge the Chiefs, but can be a playoff team? I don't know. You know, it's been a mess. Anthony Lynn, really good coordinator. Staley, probably really good coordinator. Do they have the head coach take a fairly talented team, put them over the top? But I have more concerns about the defense or about the offense than I do about the defense, which is interesting. Again, new starters, skill position players, not too sexy. Oof, I what are your thoughts on the Chargers in all seriousness? Because I see them 10-7 to be a great year for them.
I'm fascinated how quickly Jim Harbaugh got in there and said, you know, the most important unit's the offensive line. And people think like this is meat and potatoes guy. And, you know, like this is the way he thinks. He is so transparent. And the way he wants his football team, Mike Williams, out of here. Keenan Allen, out of here. He's like, let's get all the flash. And by the way, good players. Like Keenan, I think, will be very good as an addition in Chicago. But you could tell right away that Harbaugh's like, I'm going to get my guys. And you nailed it, Holden. They're going to run the football. It's going to take, I think, for Herbert, he's going to love it. It's going to take stuff off of his plate. He's not going to have to do it. I think Kellen Moore asked him to do everything. Right? I need you to do everything. It's going to be all you. Austin Eckler out of the back. Eckler, gone. Harbs came in and just said, this thing is going to be, we're going to tear it all the way down offensively. We're going to build it the way I built it in San Francisco. And we all remember that. That was a run-first offense. And they got oh so close to winning the Super Bowl back then with Colin Kaepernick. So that's what I see happening here in L.A. It's going to be run-first. And you've got a signal caller like Justin Herbert that doesn't have to make all these great arm talent throws, risky plays. I think he's going to dummy it down for Herbert a lot. It's going to get him hit a lot less. Remember, he had those big flak jackets he was playing with because the offensive line, they got 7-step drops. He's trying to make 50-yard plays down the field. I think it's going to be get the ball out of your hand. Let's run the football effectively. Punting is not a dirty word. We can punt and play defense and field position. It might not be sexy. It might be a little bit boring for today's kids. It will be effective. I would be stunned if this team isn't marketably better. 5-win team a year ago, and that win total is 8.5 this year. It's juiced, -$1.55. I really like this football team to potentially be a double-digit football team that really is right there and probably a playoff team this year.
Yeah, -$55 is a little much on the juice for me to bet that, but if you wanted to bet it over 9.5, maybe get plus money there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't hate it.
And again, if the correlation is this a playoff team, and the answer, if you think the answer is yes, then play the alt total that Holden's alluding to, 9.5 at plus money, because I think you're gonna have to win 10 to more than likely get in to the AFC. A lot of good teams in the AFC, and the North is loaded. 3 teams in the East that we think are pretty good. We think we got 2 out West that are going to be very good, maybe only 1 out of the South, but probably going to have to get to 10 wins in order to make it into the postseason. When we come back, Holden, there's 2 other teams we have not broken down yet. Antonio Pierce out here in the desert, and then he's your guy now by default. Sean Payton in Denver. We'll discuss those as we break down the AFC West, and it continues here on Chart Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason, can you believe it, kicks off in less than a month. Lucky for you, the VSIN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our all-new NFL betting guide. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems, and trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures, props, awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. So to access this invaluable guide, you're going to need to become a VSIN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSIN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we're going to add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSIN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, our all-new special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Do not miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this fantastic offer. Head over to VSIN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP. Get 13 months of Visa Pro for just $199 and gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe and use the promo code SHARP. Back alongside Holden Kushner, Dave Ross here. Before we get back into the AFC West conversation, I look up and I see the Joker. And then whenever I say the Joker, you think
Nikola Jokic. What's he doing? Is he getting ready for the Olympics?
No. It's Novak Djokovic. So Jokic is now the Joker over the original Joker that was Novak Djokovic? Has he stolen the moniker? Okay, Joker rankings.
Heath Ledger
is number one.
100% agree with you, Holden, on that.
Nikola Jokic, Novak Djokovic.
That's incorrect.
Joker ranking.
It's number one is Novak Djokovic. He's arguably the greatest tennis player of all time.
Heath Ledger, arguably the greatest acting performance of all time. Many more movies than tennis. Actually, there's been a lot of tennis players too.
Yeah.
But no, Heath Ledger, number one, Nikola, and then Novak.
Okay, it's incorrect, but we'll let it stand. By the way, the Joker, my Joker, just eliminated Holger Rude. He gets it done in straight sets. He's now kissing his racket, and he's playing a violin with his racket on center court as we speak, blowing kisses. Holden, have you ever done something in your life where you just blew kisses to people? He's blowing kisses like this.
Why is this happening?
Because it's Wimbledon, baby.
Why is all this happening?
Because it's Wimbledon. He moves on now to the quarterfinals, and he's going to have Alex de Meur is who he's going to play there as Novak Djokovic making his another run at another Wimbledon title. Look, I always say this, Holden. I don't want to retire the greats. Like, I know people are like, oh, that guy's got to retire. Dude, play for as long as you can. Could you imagine they said to us, they're like, you guys got to stop. We just need you to step down. No, you go until they tell you that you can't play anymore. If you're Novak Djokovic, if you're the greatest Joker of all time, you just keep going.
I mean, we're not getting that from Heath Ledger. We do have Nikola Jokic.
We got two of the three Jokers left.
Joker. Yeah.
Love your Jokers, by the way. Heath Ledger, he was spectacular in that role. Let's get back to the AFC West conversation. We broke down the teams that we believe are going to be the legit contenders. Obviously, it's the Chiefs, and we feel like it's the Chargers. Let's go to Denver next, to your city there, or your state at least. What do you make of Sean Payton year two? Because I kind of feel like with what Harbs is doing in L.A., quickly getting in personnel he wants, that was clear. That Russell Wilson was not Sean Payton's guy. And I'm going to get him out of here, and we're going to move on. Do you feel like he gave Russell a real chance to work? Or was it a day one thing? And he's like, I just got to put up with this for a year because I can't move him now, but I'm going to move him in the offseason.
I think he gave Russell Wilson a chance, and he learned very early that Russell Wilson did not deserve much of a chance.
Ooh.
So that's what I think happened with Russ here in Denver last year. Now, I am on the record with you telling you I think Bo Nix is going to start week one. I still think Bo Nix is going to start week one. The problem is there's too many question marks at offensive skill positions. You know, they're going to try and run the football a lot. People have given up on Javonte Williams. They forget how amazing Pookie was a couple of years ago before he just completely ravaged his knee. And he came back too soon last year, and he didn't look good. I'm buying in on Javonte this year. Jaleel McLaughlin's another guy. Piron, they have a good running back stable, especially if Williams takes care of business. But who are the weapons we're talking about here? Greg Dulcich, who can't stay on the field, his hamstrings just always giving him problems, cranky, hasn't been able to stay on the field for 2 years now. Cortland Sutton, good wide receiver, not one of the best in the league. Marvin Mims, again, we're going to find out if he's a one-trick pony or not. I just don't like the skill position. I don't think you're putting Bo Nix or whoever is under center in a great spot to be a successful passer in year one. They still need to figure out center. And then you go to the defensive side of the ball, which has really been a strength of this team for a long time. As bad as they have been in many of these years since they won that Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, really, it was the denouement, the end of his career.
Yep.
Their defense has been sensational. Their secondary, like Patrick Surtain to me, is still the number one cornerback in the league. But the secondary gets taken down to mediocre because everybody else around him stinks. So too many holes for them to make a run this year. Can they win seven games? Yeah, I think they can get a 7-10 season. And I think their win total is what, 6?
5.5.
So 5.5? Yeah. Oh, even better.
You can get a 5.
Yeah, that to me, you can back into 6 wins with this roster. Sean Payton's still a really good coach. They do have some good spots. If he can coach them offensively to run the football successfully, it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Bo Nix. But it's not going to be a good team. The question is, how many wins do they get? 5, 6, or 7?
What's incredible, it's juiced to the under in the 5.5 win total. Here's the question I have for you, Holden, because you saw it. How the hell did they win 8 last year? They won 8 games last year. I mean, that's
defense.
Okay. So, like, to me, everybody just remembers the Miami game, and they go, oh, they gave up 1,000 points. They were really good after that defensively, after that debacle down there in Miami. I'm with you. I kind of feel like this is an overplay at 5.5, especially if you're laying just $1.05 on the juice here to play that over that win total. Because I look, I'm sorry, Raiders, out here in Las Vegas. I root for you because you're now my home city. But I look at Antonio Pierce, and I think it's going to be really tough first year as a truly a first-year head coach. Interim guy last year. Now it's his show. I just look at this thing and I go, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, and apparently this is a battle right now? Like, battle for what? I mean, if this is who we're battling for the number one spot at quarterback, I don't know where you'd rank them in starters in the NFL, but they're going to be in the high 20s on my list for either guy, whoever wins said battle.
You always say this to me. You're like, you're out in Colorado, talk about the Broncos. Hey, you're out in Vegas, talk about the Raiders. Because I don't know what's worse, their quarterback situation or their secondary. They might have the worst secondary in the National Football League. And I know Max Crosby and that pass rush can help out a little bit. But they are at the bottom of the league at quarterback, and they're going to be at the bottom of the league at the secondary. And it's Davante Adams and a bunch of guys on offense. A bad football team. And this is a team that I think could struggle to win 5 games.
I totally agree. This is an underplay, and their win total is sitting at 6.5. But I'm right there with you. I think this is an underplay in the Raiders. By the way, the numbers, I think, are whacked. The AFC West, okay, we mentioned the Chiefs, obviously big odds on favorites here, over $2 betting favorite. Chargers are the second choice. Raiders are 9-1, and then the Broncos are 18-1. Not that I think that either one of the Broncos could compete for the title. I wouldn't say flip those, but I think they should both be closer to the middle of like 12-1s for both teams. I look at the Broncos and the Raiders almost being on par. I don't look at the Raiders as dramatically better than Sean Payton's Broncos. And I'll tell you this, Antonio Pierce, we had him in D.C. He was there as a linebacker back in the D.C. days. When he went on to the Giants, I covered that Super Bowl for Fox back then in Arizona with our buddy Dave Feldman. You remember Feldy, of course. Antonio Pierce was our guy all week out in Arizona because of our connection in D.C. He is a guy you run through a wall for. He really is. He's that type of personality. You love the guy. And you love the rah-rah spirit. My problem is the talent. The talent's just not there. Like, Max Crosby and Antonio Pierce are going to love each other. Like, those are two kindred spirits. They see it the same way. They want to get after the quarterback. They want to beat you up physically. I just don't know if they have enough Max Crosbys and Antonio Pierces to actually get what they're trying to get. So, to me, this is a play-against football team. I don't see it with Aiden O'Connell. I like Gardner Minshew as a backup. I do not like him as a 17-week starter. So to me, out here in the desert, I wish I could be more optimistic and say, oh yeah, home team, they're going to be. No, I don't see it this year. I think the Chargers are drastically better. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. And I do think your Broncos out there in Denver are getting better. We'll find out what Bo Nix is. But Sean Payton is not going to risk his offensive genius reputation and draft that guy if he doesn't think it's going to be a success, right? He's not going to do that. I mean, he jettisoned Russell Wilson, who is a quasi Hall of Fame conversation for years, and he's just said, get out of here. I'm going to go to this kid out of Oregon. That's who he wanted. So I have to trust that Sean Payton knows more about offensive football than everybody else telling us that Bo Nix is going to be a bust. So it's almost like in Sean, I trust there. As much as I love Antonio Pierce, I don't see it happening out here in the desert. When we come back, Steve Mackinnon is going to join the program. That's next year on Sharp Money.
This This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Check it out. Each and every day before you make those wagers, go to VSIN.com. You can get your best bets, your betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, and they vary by state. Betting tools, betting guides, they are there for you each and every day before you make those wagers. Make your coffee, check out VSIN.com. You will be ahead of the game. Back alongside Holden Kushner, Dave Ross here at the D in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. It must be that time of year. I feel like we don't get to catch up with our guy Steve Mackinnon enough, right? Like, and I know that's normally just football season. Steve's got incredible information. If you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber, you are missing out on Steve's info. He's going to join us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Steve, great to have you back on, my friend. And I wanted to get those win totals because Holden and I were just talking about it in the last segment. You have done some numbers via DraftKings projections for their win totals, ran your numbers, and then see if you can find some value maybe in the discrepancies there. We were just talking about the Broncos. What do you see with the Broncos now? Truly, I want to say, I know it's year two, but year one now for Sean Payton getting the offense and the quarterback that he wants.
No, hi, Dave. Well, great to be with you guys. Like, it has been too long, and it stinks that I've only get to talk to you in the fall and early spring. So, but good to see you. Regarding the Broncos, does Sean Payton have the quarterback he wants? Ooh. Is that for sure? I mean, I know they're selling the fact that they got Bo Nix and they wanted him in that spot hard, but I'm not convinced. I don't know. I don't see any particular reason this team will be greatly improved this season based upon that factor.
Now, your win total, though, does project higher than the 5.5. Is that just the market being maybe just a little bit too low in the Broncos for a team that did win somehow, as we were talking about in the last segment, 8 games a year ago with Russell Wilson at the helm for the majority of them?
Okay, now the way I run this projected wins thing in the guide, I run the schedule against my power rating. Mm. So I may be slightly higher. I'm not high at all on the Broncos. I got a 20 power rating. That's not high at all. Their schedule ranking is actually second in the league.
Ooh.
So I may be a little more optimistic power rating wise than the market is at this point. And if you combine that with the fact that they are the second toughest schedule in the NFL, might be tough to get to that win total.
The biggest difference that I see, Steve, is the Patriots. So 4.5 is the win total. You got them at 6. It's just, and this is nothing to do with actual numbers, but I look at teams can just back into 5 wins. So bad teams. Look at the worst teams. We got 17 games played now, and some of these teams are playing out the rest of the season. What about the Patriots? Why is it a 1.5 win difference? That's humongous, Steve.
Okay, I agree with your thoughts there on why they might improve just for the sake of it. I mean, sometimes that just happens. I mean, you look at this Patriots team this year, and I don't know if there's a team in the league getting a more fresh breath of air, if you will. I mean, the last few years with the Brady's out, Belichick is in, there's been a lot of who did what for that team franchise. I think that kind of weighed this down a little bit. Mac Jones was clearly not the answer. This team scored 13.9 points per game last season. It's almost impossible to get any worse than that. I would think they will be a little bit better offensively, particularly if Drake May is given a chance here. I have an interesting system regarding the Patriots and the Washington Commanders as to why they could improve this year, and it's because they were so bad last year. Teams that won 5 games or less in the season, none by double-digit margins, have shown significant improvement in the follow-up campaign. 50 of the last 52 teams have improved.
Wow.
Their win-loss record. So that's a pretty significant number. They're 50 out of 52. And the average wins they've improved by is about 3.9. So just based upon they were almost bottom of the barrel, there's a better chance they're improved this season.
I got to tell you that maybe the wildest sweat I had last year in the season win totals, I played Arizona under 4.5. And it felt like, oh, man, this is a lock. I got this thing all the way. And then they go to Philadelphia, if you remember, late in the year last year and beat the Eagles on the road. And then that last game against Seattle was kind of knocked out of the playoff picture. and it took like a missed kick by Arizona, and then Seattle kicks a field goal at the buzzer to beat Arizona for that total to stay under. Point is, Steve, Arizona got really kind of frisky at the end of the year last year with Kyler Murray and Gannon in year one. I think was maybe even a pleasant surprise for a team that only won four games. What do you see this year with the Cardinals? Because I know maybe you have them projected a little bit higher than what everybody else does.
Again, a team potentially with some grit. You know, I mean, you have a situation now where you flush out some key spots in the roster. Maybe they started feeling a little better about themselves at the end of last season. That could mean a lot in an off season as you prepare to go into a campaign with obviously an improved roster, particularly a wide receiver, very high on Marvin Harrison. You get Kyler Murray, maybe a full season out of him, and you just don't know. I mean, these you look at strengths of schedule, and a lot of people like to bark at this type of subject and at this time of year. But by midseason, the end of the season schedule may look totally different to a team. So very difficult to really project a team to be really bad or really good.
So then we have the Steelers, and these are just numbers-based projections. You got them going under 8.5. You got a 7.6 projection. Yeah, 7.6 projection. Then you've got the narrative on that side. Tomlin's never been under 500. Does that matter at all if you're placing a bet on the Steelers going under, or is it just strictly numbers?
You know, obviously it has to matter. It's in some form. Now, the thing with the Steelers is the last 2 to 3 seasons, they've been winning with just by means I don't tend to like as a stat guy, as a data analyst. They with defense and forcing turnovers, but not scoring many points. Now, when does that come back to bite them? Is Russell Wilson going to get them to a higher offensive stature this year? If not, maybe this is the year this team finally slips.
Steve, I hate to bring it to America's attention, but you have America's team maybe going under their projected win total. This one hurt me, Steve, when I saw it, but your numbers don't lie here. I'm kind of with you. I think it could be a longer year for the Cowboys this year. Questions of the offense. Why did your numbers point to the Cowboys maybe taking a step down this year?
Yeah, to me, the biggest change here, the biggest loss on this team is going to be their defense coordinator and Dan Quinn obviously leaving, and then him taking his new coordinator with him. These guys were responsible for the turnovers this team produced. They scored a lot of defensive points, had a lot of benefit from turnovers. They're probably still be able to produce some pressure on quarterbacks, but if they don't get those turnovers and they don't score on those turnovers as much as they did, it's very hard to see them keeping up with this 12-win type of season.
All right, so the last team for me to talk to you about is the Ravens. To me, still the team to beat in the division. Burrow's coming back. I get it, but you've got them going under the 11.5. They could still win 11 games and be a terrific football team. Is there anything in particular that the numbers told you why they wouldn't really just run the table like they did last year in the regular season and win more than 12 games?
I don't know. Not really anything completely specific. I mean, they lose a running back. That's going to be key. That produced a lot of points for them, if you will. But sometimes you just got to return to a point where if you were at a 30, maybe on my scale, a 32 to 33 power rating at the end of the season, but then lose to a team that maybe you probably should have won in the championship game. You have to come down a little bit from that. So just a return to normalcy a little bit, and hard to win 12 games in this league, let's be honest.
Yeah, and Lamar, until last year, had not completed seasons. We'd always see these great starts, and Lamar always seemed to get hurt. He didn't get hurt last year, and he won his second MVP. A team that Holden and I talked about earlier, and I see that you concur with where we are, and that is the Chargers year one with Jim Harbaugh. What do you see with that? I know we don't like to normally lay these juicy numbers here for an over win total of 8.5, but does this feel like a team that potentially could win double digits, Steve, in year one for Harbs?
Yeah, so this is one of the teams I actually wrote up as one of my season win total wagers for the season, going over the 8.5 wins. Now, there's a lot of reason to think there could be some improvement. Harbaugh's very maligned in the media and amongst fans and such, but he's going to be an improvement upon Staley. People got to remember how frustrated people were with Staley over the last few years. So they've made some changes that I believe on the field that are going to help them. They've gotten rid of a lot of their aging veteran offensive stars, if you will, and replace them with some youth, and maybe going to go to more of a running game, physical mindset, take some of that pressure off to Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. This is also a team that's very talented defensively. Over the last eight games, you take away that Raiders 63-point outburst, that defense only allowed 17 points per game. So it wasn't like they were crumbling completely down in the second half like Philadelphia was defensively. So a lot of reasons to think the Chargers could be better.
Love it, Steve. And whenever we talk, that means football season is almost upon us. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks for hopping on the Progressive Guest Line with us today.
Thank you, guys.
When we come back, much more to get to, including some Major League Baseball talk. That's next here on Sharp Money.